After a one-week delay, we were supposed to have our big AEW title match last week, Jon Moxley against Brian Cage. It was delayed to this week. We finally got it in the main event. On this, a special Fight for the Fallen edition of AEW Dynamite on TNT for Wednesday, July 15, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Right out of the gate, Jim Ross welcomes, I don't know how many of you picked up on this, right out of the gate of tonight's show, which I thought, you know, I thought tonight's show, it was good. This was not one of my favorite episodes of Dynamite. There was some good action on the show. There was some storyline advancement. That main event I thought was disappointing. It just wasn't what I was expecting. But on the whole, it was a pretty solid show. Right out of the gate, Jim Ross welcomes us to Fyter Fest 2. It was the first thing he mentioned when we went on the air tonight. It's like, JR's had one too many Moscow Mules. JR is very fond of the Moscow. I don't know, I mean, you see him posting pictures on social media. He's always got the Moscow Mule. It's like his favorite drink. What's in that anyway? Was that vodka? Moscow. It's got to be vodka, right? What else would it be? I've never had a Moscow Mule. I've got my own vice. So, Tony Schiavone, not on the show this week. They said that his COVID test had not come back yet. He's not having any symptoms or anything. In fact, I think he's hosting the post-show tonight on YouTube. But I guess they just didn't get his results back fast enough because they take too damn long. So he was replaced tonight. Taz was the stand-in for him, which, you know, Taz is very good on commentary. So Taz was a fine stand-in. A little weird, given that he was going to be involved in the main event, but he took off about midway into the show to go and make sure that Brian Cage was ready for the main event. So everybody in the crowd this week was wearing a mask except for two people, MJF and Wardlow. What an asshole. MJF was the only one not wearing a mask. And Cody opened up the show with a TNT title defense against Sonny Kiss. This was Cody's sixth championship defense so far. A year ago at Fight for the Fallen, Sonny Kiss was wrestling on the pre-show against the Librarian. He's wrestling against the Librarian, Peter Avalon, and now 1 year later, here he is challenging for a championship on TNT. And we haven't gotten to see Sonny Kiss on TNT very often. In fact, these last few weeks has really been the first time. I mean, that's really been it. He's been on Dark, and that's about it. So this was a big night for him. This is a big match for him. You got the dancing entrance with the cheerleaders. I don't know if they were the Jacksonville Jaguars cheerleaders or where they came from, but got a full entrance. Again, something he's never gotten on this show before and may never get again. They pointed out Tully Blanchard was in the audience observing. They pointed it out. They showed him on camera multiple times, but they were sure to point him out. And Cody went for the crossroads. Sonny reversed it into one of his own for a near fall. This was very early in the match. Some other main spots here. 450 splash by Sonny Kiss. Very impressive. He nailed that 450 near fall only, but he did nail it. Picture perfect. Cody gave him an Alabama slam on the ramp. Jim Ross with the shout out to Bob Holly. Thought I saw Bob Holly's name mentioned. I think he's going to be involved in something Extreme Rules related this weekend. Some I don't know if it's on The Bump or one of these WWE YouTube things. You'll see his name mentioned very often. I interviewed him on the channel. For those, we have newer listeners who have no idea that I did a pretty like in-depth 90-minute long interview with Bob Holly, who did not hold back. This is going back like 5 years now, probably on the channel. 6 years, maybe. We still keep in touch. Actually, I tell you what, little detour here, since JR brought up Hardcore Holly, when my mother passed away, I got a lot of messages from people. I got a very weird text message on my phone, not a tweet, I got a text message, and I couldn't imagine who it was from because it just said the number, and there was no name attached to it. And it's this long message, and then a second, I didn't know what to do. I mean, it's kind of weird to send a message back and go, thank you, but who is this? I didn't want to do that. Thankfully, there was a follow-up message, and he mentioned who it was, and it was Bob Holly. And he sent me, I still have it. He sent me this long message, you know, from he and his wife. I never forget that. I'll never forget that. He'll always be good in my book. So Cody hit the cop killer to Sunny Kiss or the Vertebraker, I guess, if you're a Hurricane Helms fan. I always think of the Cop Killer because the first time I ever saw somebody hit that move live was Homicide and Ring of Honor. Probably a Ring of Honor show in like 2007, 2008, something like that. So it'll always be the Cop Killer to me. But near fall, Cody was getting frustrated. He goes over to the referee, Aubrey Edwards. He's, you know, arguing with her. Arn Anderson's getting up on the apron now. He's not too happy about what's going on. And that was really one of the stories about this match. Cody getting frustrated, showing a lot of heel tendencies in this match. It was very noticeable. It was not done by accident. It was a very... In fact, this whole match, I think, was designed... It wasn't even so much about the match. It was really about showcasing Cody in a certain way that makes you think, something's going on here. Something's going on here with Cody. That's, to me, really is what the story of this match was all about. Undertaker's looking happy. Undertaker is enjoying 420. Thank you, Jacob. So Sonny, he rolled Cody up. Cody reversed it into a crossface. This was back and forth at this point. Again, Cody could not put this kid away no matter what he did. And Cody had exposed the turnbuckle earlier in the match. Came back to bite him on the ass. He got sent face first into the buckle. In the end, Cody finishes it with a crossroads. He drilled him. He drilled this guy head first down into the mat. And so he picks up the win. Cody has been acting heelish for a while. This is not the first time. In fact, Cody's been exhibiting a lot of heelish tendencies now for many, many weeks. This is far from the first time. And look, it's only a matter of time. Those shots of Tully Blanchard in the crowd. Again, everything here is done by design. Why would they show Tully Blanchard in the next match with FTR? Excalibur acknowledged him again. Hey, Tully Blanchard's in the crowd. He's watching FTR. Why would he be watching Cody and FTR? I mean, put the pieces together here. It's pretty obvious where this is going. It's the idea that I was talking about a few weeks ago. Now, the whole Horseman thing with Cody and FTR, and is it going to be Sean Spears? Is it going to be somebody else? You know, Sean Spears is the connection with Tully. If I were Tully, I would just cut bait at this point. I would move on to somebody else. I mean, I don't even hear about Sean Spears anymore unless you watch Dark. That's about it. He got a win over Brian Pillman Jr. a few weeks ago. It's like the biggest win he's had in forever. But, yeah, they're not being terribly discreet about things now. It's pretty clear where things are going, or where they want you to think that things are going as far as a possible Horseman faction. As far as the match itself, I mean, the outcome was never in doubt. I thought it was a good showcase for Sonny Kiss. You know, as a match, I thought it was pretty average fare. But it was really more about teasing a Cody heel turn than anything else. And remember, this is the week that the non-compete clause is up for a lot of those WWE talents that were cut back in April. I don't know if it's today or the end of the week, but this is the end of the non-compete. I would be very surprised if we do not see Zack Ryder either next week or in the next couple of weeks pop up on Dynamite as a surprise challenger for Cody in the TNT title. Cody and Ryder are pretty thick. You know, it's to me, it's just a matter of time. I expect this to be his landing spot anyway. But why not have him pop up? I mean, it's all about giving people an opportunity that we haven't seen before, right? That's how they introduced Ricky Starks. I would watch for that. I would expect that to happen very, very soon. What's going on, guys? Let me say hello to the chat. I don't want to forget about you guys. Always good to have you guys in the house joining me for our Dynamite party each and every week. We did have some people who chimed in. I know Prince Walker wasn't able to join us for the stream, so he dropped $10. Wow. Before we went live, Rican's son, I was talking to him a little bit earlier, said, have you ever seen The Golden Girls before? A coworker got me into it. It is phenomenal. It's one of my favorite all-time sitcoms. I would say it's in the top five of my favorite sitcoms. And I was like a lot of people who, The Golden Girls, why the hell would I watch that? I'm not in the target demographic for that show. When you actually watch the show, it's freaking funny. The writing on that show is really good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the show. I got into it. You know when I got into it? I got into it in college. I was in my dorm room. I was bored. I had nothing to do. I was flipping around. I ended up on Lifetime. Pathetic, I know. I'm in my college dorm room. I'm watching Lifetime TV. But they were showing reruns of it, and I got into it. So that's how far back I go with the Golden Girls. So to answer your question, yes. I'm a big fan of the show. Jacob Donnelly. $10. Thank you very much. Spanish Goddess. Your girl, Ivelisse, is going to be fighting next week. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about her a little bit later. That's a preview for next week's show. I did not see that coming, so that was a very interesting announcement. And M. Bison. M. Bison with the $5. So we'll get to the rest of these as we go along here. Let's keep things going. The child is yelling at me. The child is, he's drinking his tea. He's off camera right now. You can't see him. He's being very obnoxious. So I want to make sure I keep things going here. For the first time ever, we had FTR taking on the Lucha Bros. Now we're going to have people who've never tuned into the stream before tuning in thinking I have a kid. Which, to my knowledge, I don't. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but anyway. FTR taking on the Lucha Bros with The Butcher. And The Blade. Driving them into the building in FTR's own truck. I didn't expect this for an entrance, so when I saw it, I just started cracking up laughing because I just wasn't expecting it. So there you see The Butcher and The Blade, and they're like the valets. You know, they're giving him a lift into the building. These guys are like bosom buddies. They're like best friends all of a sudden. I wasn't expecting that. This was very good. You know, we had Wheeler was being isolated during the commercial. Phoenix, I mean, what more can be said about Phoenix? Phoenix was in there doing very, very Phoenix things. There was a top row bulldog, or like a headlock bulldog by FTR, which is the old Steiner Brothers finish. So here we have a team that has used, what have we seen with them? We've seen the old Brainbusters, right? Spike pile driver finish. We've seen the old Power and Glory finish. Now they're using the old Steiner Brothers finish. Don't ever say these guys aren't students of tag team wrestling. They're borrowing from all of the big teams. Yes, I consider Power and Glory to be a big team, even if WWE never did. So we had Harwood giving Pentagon a superplex, and Wheeler came off the top rope. This was the Power and Glory spot, but Penta got his knees up. Phoenix from the other corner onto Harwood, who also got his knees up. And we had Wheeler doing a dive through the ropes. This was interesting. He did a dive through the ropes, out of the ring onto Pentagon, but did a tilt-a-whirl DDT on the floor. So that was not a move I'm used to seeing FTR executing. Finish came inside. We had Harwood, who ducked a spin kick, a hook kick by Phoenix. And he grabbed Phoenix's mask, and he ripped it off his head. Now, we've seen this happen to, you know, Rey Mysterio before. Jericho, in fact, Chris Jericho did it to Rey Mysterio in one of their matches. He ripped the mask off his head. All Phoenix could do was cover up, and Harwood covered him for the win. This was good stuff. Not as fun as the 8-man tag from last week, but I thought this was good stuff. And look, FTR keeps on winning. Now these guys are on a win streak ever since they came into the company. Young Bucks sneak up behind Butcher and Blade over by the truck. Stereo super kicks. They grab the car keys for the truck, FTR's truck. And they bring the keys to the ring, and they return the keys to FDR, or FTR. We did not have FDR here on Dynamite. That would be a hell of a magic trick. Kenny Omega walks out with a cooler of beer. He's going to make up. Remember last week he dumped the beer out that FTR gave him? So he's here for a make good. He's got a cooler. He's got beer. They give the beer to FTR. And they pour the beer over his head. And Kenny Omega is not very happy about that. Bucks have to hold him back. FTR heads back to the truck. Wheeler puts the key in the ignition. It looks like he's trying to start the truck, and the truck won't start. The truck will not move. They had the cameraman intentionally back up, I guess to give the illusion maybe that the car was actually being put into reverse, but looked like the car wasn't starting. It's kind of embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as the motorcycle that didn't start for Hulk Hogan. That was fucking embarrassing. But I did think it was funny. They forgot to bring their truck in for an inspection. That's what happens. When you don't bring your vehicle in for an inspection, stuff like this starts to happen. Hey, I just brought my car in for an inspection. I went in expecting, hey, $37, no problem. It'll pass inspection. I walked in there expecting to spend $37. I walk out with a $600 bill because I needed new brakes. I know that feeling. I like the tease of more tension between Omega and FTR. And a big part of why I like that and I enjoy that is, you know, if you remember my prediction from a few weeks ago, I still believe the tag team titles should and probably will go to FTR before they go to the Young Bucks. That will play into the eventual feud and the match between the Bucks and FTR. We did it before you did. Now the Bucks have to win the belts off of them. So they have to start to build tension between these two teams first. That's why FTR continues to win. There's got to be some justification for them getting a tag team title match at some point. To do that, they've got to win, and that's what they've been doing. I haven't checked the tag team rankings, but to me, they've got to be climbing up there. So I still think that's the direction we're going in here. I think that they're going to win the belts before the Bucks do. And the Bucks and FTR will be your tag team title feud, and Omega and Hangman, Splitsville. That's where we're headed. That is where we are headed. Spanish Goddish with more Super Chat action. Mike Hilliard with $25. nice job. I see. Says, nice juice job tonight, bro. It was a swerve, bro. Never saw it coming, bro. And bro, you are over. I think they should book a real-life boxing match between Jericho and Orange Cassidy. Think of the ratings, bro. If there's one idea that is absolutely awful, it is having pro wrestlers do a choreographed boxing match. We've seen it before. It fucking sucks. I have no interest in seeing that at all. None whatsoever. So I hope that's not what they do. I love you, Mike, but that's just a terrible idea. Bro. Big boy, 92 with the $10. How much is it for you to do an AEW review in your Russo voice? $250. There you go. Oofman Entertainment with the $5 super chat. Moscow Mule. Oh, here we go. He's shedding some light for me on the Moscow Mule. 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1/6 of lime juice, and 4 ounces of ginger beer. Not bad. Not bad. Well, I'll tell you what. When I start going out again to bars, probably in 2023, maybe 2024, I'll have to do that. I'll have to try a Moscow Mule. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be visiting any establishments like that for quite a while, so I'll have to just be patient. Chris Jericho, he was out next with Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz. Still no Sammy Guevara. He is still serving his suspension. But Jericho's out there with a container of orange juice in his hand. He said last week against Orange Cassidy, he won the ratings war. Uh-oh. And here I thought I put this to bed on the podcast on Sunday, this whole ratings debate, this raging ratings debate about overall ratings and demo ratings, and now Jericho is incorporating it into his character on TV. He said it's great to have the overall win in viewers, but the most important thing is the demos, especially the 18 to 49 demo. He said he's never been beaten in that demo. He is the demo god. That is his new nickname. He was using it all night long after this. So get used to it because that's what... I give it a week before we have a demo god t-shirt. It's going to have a little ratings chart on it with the numbers going up. You watch. You watch. This guy will turn anything... He turned the word it into a t-shirt. We're going to be getting demo god shirts real soon. I do love that he is leaning into it and just... You know, having fun with it and making it into a gimmick. Because you know it's going to make people's heads explode. They're going to be railing on AEW. Oh, there they go again. Talking about the ratings. This is just Jericho doing his heel shtick saying, you know what? If people are going to be pissed off, I'm going to lean into it more. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing it to get under your skin. Don't let him do it. All you NXT fans, don't let him do it. He said there would be no rematch with Orange Cassidy. Then he poured one out for Cassidy's career with the orange juice. Orange Cassidy came out. He was in the crowd. Jericho's yelling at him, get the hell out of my arena, you piece of shit. OC is just standing there staring at him. Then he gives him the thumbs up. Oh, wait, hold on. The thumbs up. He turns it into the thumbs down. And from the ceiling comes orange juice, or what I hope anyway was orange juice. And it falls down on all the members of the inner circle. Ortiz with his just ridiculous overselling. It was too much for me. And yes, this is, you know, we've seen, I mean, look, this is a spot that has been done a million times in WWE. It's a total retread of an idea that we've seen before. We've seen bloodbaths. We've seen shit, right? Feces drop from the ceiling. Paint. Didn't Miz and Morrison just drop like green paint or something on Kayla and Braun Strowman a few weeks ago or a month ago, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, I wasn't really a fan of that. But you know what? Jericho losing his mind afterwards, complaining about his $7,000 jacket that got destroyed. That was entertaining enough. That was entertaining enough. Lord Frieza with the $5. Always good to see Lord Frieza. Jacob Donnelly. Ian Israel with the $10. The cop killer vertebraker was created by a woman, Megumi Kudo. It was originally known as the Kudo Driver. Well, there you go. The more you know. I didn't know that. I just learned something new here on the stream. The Kudo Driver. True heel master. Gitchy, gitchy, ya, ya, da, da. Lady Marmalade. Marmalade? Marmalade? Eh, whatever. Lady Lemonade, thank you for the super chat. And Slay Fox, should Omega get an AEW championship match down the line so that Paige can get jealous? I'm going to talk more about these guys here in a second, so trust me, I got a few thoughts on them. The Elite, speaking of the devil, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Jurassic Express. This was the wild spot fest match of the night. You're going to have people who absolutely hate it because Marco Stunt was involved. They're going to hate it even more. I thought as far as just like a car crash match goes, it was fun. There was some fun spots in it. It was hard. I was getting dizzy just trying to keep track of everything that was going on, to be honest with you. To me, you know, after a while, everything just sort of blends together. So I didn't hate it. I didn't, you know, you see Brandy's face on your screen right now. It wasn't the look I had on my face, although I'm sure some people did. It was the spot fest match of the night. I mean, it's what you would have expected here. I thought it was a fun sprint. I thought Marco Stunt got way more offense than he should have. It's my opinion. Hangman Page was up at the bar drinking, naturally. Midway through the match, all of a sudden we see FTR. There's Dash and Dawson. They're joining him at the bar, and he's like, all right, you want to join me? Hey, come on up to the desk and grab a drink. And I was funny because I guess they must have given up on trying to start their truck, right? The last we saw them, they were in the truck. They were trying to start their truck and leave the arena, and all of a sudden they're up at the bar. So obviously they gave up on trying to get their truck to work, and I guess they're not going to be driving anywhere if they were drinking. So I thought that was interesting. Jurassic Express ended up on the ramp. This really is what everybody was talking about. Or going to be talking about as far as this match is concerned, was this spot. They're on the ramp, and we have a Tower of Doom Canadian Destroyer. It was Matt Jackson is up on like the middle rope or top rope, wherever he was, and Marco Stunt hits this like Tower of Doom Destroyer. Looked like he almost broke this guy's neck. Ridiculously dangerous move. I don't know why you would try it. I don't know why you would want to try it or take it. But I can honestly say I've never seen that variation of the move before. We've seen some crazy variations of the Destroyer. This was one I had never seen before. So then a couple minutes later, we see Kenny Omega catch Luchasaurus with a V-trigger. He was trying to protect Marco's Stunt. He's in the ropes. He covers Marco. He shields Marco. Fuck Marco. He gives him the V-trigger anyway. Down goes Luchasaurus. He gives Marco the V-trigger. Omega lifts him up. He tries to give him the one-winged angel. Or as Excalibur would say, the one-winged angel. It's the one-winged angel. Tries to give it to him, and Marco slips out, rolls up Omega for a near fall. Then he gets wrecked with a V-trigger. One-winged angel hits this time, and Kenny Omega picks up the win. And this was the interesting part. Match is over. Kenny Omega climbs on top of Marco's Stunt, starts throwing bombs. Nick Jackson gets him off. What the hell are you doing? Kenny's sitting down in the corner. He's got a smirk on his face. He's looking up at the young buck saying, they almost killed you. I guess, you know, he's referring to the Tower of Doom spot with the destroyer. They tried to kill you. But he's got this smirk on his face. And then he's like, okay. He goes over. He apologizes. He's trying to help him up. Very interesting. I think, let's unpack this here. Let's unpack what we saw here in this match. We saw Hangman Page at the bar with FTR. Are they teasing some kind of alliance there eventually between the because, you know, when I've talked about this possible Horseman faction, I'm sure everybody's probably talking about it. Yeah, you think Cody and Arn, right, they're going to be in there. And FTR is going to be in there. Tully, they've shown Tully. He's almost, you know, it's like he's trying to recruit them. Maybe Tully will be in there. Maybe Sean Spears. What about Hangman Page? You know, what if Hangman Page was to go heel and link up with that group? And somebody asked me about that recently. And me personally, I would much rather see Hangman as the lone wolf and not just link up with another group. You know, he's been part of the Elite. He's kind of been doing his own thing and staying away from those guys. But for him to just join another group, I think there's great potential, again, for him to be in that babyface role as a lone wolf or tweener role, whatever you want to call it. I don't know that he needs to be part of that group. You know, I think there are better ways to go about doing it. Now, we had a hint tonight of the darker side of Kenny Omega. It could have just been a one-off thing. You know, Kenny was pissed about the beer being dumped on his head. He was already in a foul mood coming into this match. And so maybe it was just a one-time thing. You know, Kenny Omega, I like the fact that sometimes there's shades of gray in these characters. The guy had every right to be pissed off about what happened. You know, he was acting more aggressively during the match. You know, if it were me, I'd beat the piss out of Marco Stunt too. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a prelude to him going heel. But the idea that if the split happens with Hangman and Omega, one goes heel, one doesn't, who goes heel? You know what? If it were me, I like the idea of Kenny being the one to go heel more so than Hangman. I think I like that idea better. Again, I don't know if that's what they're building to here. Maybe it was a one-time thing. He just lost his cool. But, you know, of the two, I, if it were me, I think I would turn Kenny before I would turn Hangman. And you guys in the chat, let me know what you think. How would you do it? Tenorio, 1, 2, 8. Have you by chance ever seen The Wrestler? Yes, I did. Great movie. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the super chat. Rodimus Prime. Pretty good match between Cody and Sonny. It was all right. It was all right. JC Zephyr with the $2. I guess you're the solo Mandalorian. Yeah, I only watched the first two episodes of The Mandalorian. I have to get back. Is it worth finishing or should I not even bother? Because I only watched two episodes, so I've got to get back to that. Chase Wood with the $10. Do you think Cage now beats the hell out of Taz? I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. Reekin's son, Trayvon Allen. I love all the support you guys are sending. I appreciate it every week. You guys know it. You guys know I appreciate it. Code Thomas, Garrus Vicarian, very upset about Jericho's $7,000 jacket. And Ghost King with the $5. Which AEW wrestler has shined the most and benefited from the pandemic? That's interesting. From the pandemic. See, if it were WWE, I would say Sasha and Bayley, especially Bayley. Yeah, Bayley especially. AEW, who's benefited the most from the pandemic? I don't know that anybody. You know what? I mean, maybe Jericho by default, just because we've had the chance to hear him on commentary. I enjoy. He could be very overbearing, but were it not for the pandemic, we never would have gotten Jericho on commentary. So maybe Jericho? I don't know if there's any one person I could say who's benefited the most. The only other name that I would think of is Britt Baker, and that doesn't have to do so much with the pandemic. It's just that she got hurt, and so they had to do this whole, you know, gimmick with her in the wheelchair. So maybe her. Maybe Britt Baker. Maybe Britt Baker. Britt Baker, DMD. All right, the New Nightmare Sisters. That's their name. They're a new team in AEW. Brandi Rhodes and Allie. Apparently they've been knocking them dead on AEW Dark. They came into this match here tonight 3-0. They had a match here. They were making their Dynamite debut together. Had a match here against Kenzie Page and MJ Jenkins. MJ Jenkins, that name sounds familiar. That Mae Young Classic? I think that might have been the second Mae Young Classic. But I guess they had a pivot to a new story since QT Marshall. They were doing the whole story with QT Marshall, and he was infatuated with Allie. And we haven't seen QT Marshall in many weeks. Diamond Dallas Page, I don't know how many of you saw the video he put up on his YouTube channel. He put a whole video up about his family's experience with COVID. He thinks he either has it or has gotten over it. Other people have gotten it. And he was just kind of talking about what the experience has been like and the symptoms for them. And he just very casually dropped that QT Marshall, who I guess, you know, he's friendly with, has COVID. Now, I don't know if that's something QT Marshall wanted out. That was nothing that AEW announced. But I guess QT Marshall has COVID, and so that's why we haven't seen him. So they had to pivot to something different, and I assume that's why we're now getting this new team of Brandi and Allie together. Really not much to write home about here in this match, to be honest with you. I mean, Brandi and Allie got the win, short match, so now they're 4-0. I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. It wasn't really great, but it went 3 minutes, so how can you really grade a three-minute match? I mean, there was nothing here that really impressed me or anything, so I guess we'll see more of them in the weeks to come. Dasha. I was going to say Dasha Bot, but she is no longer Dasha Bot. Dasha Bot is no more. Dasha Bot was on Chris Jericho's podcast talking about how WWE actually instructed her to have less personality. I think we already kind of knew this was the sort of thing that happened, because when I saw her interview with Chris Van Vliet, this is months ago. This was after she left WWE or got cut, whatever the situation was. I think they released her. And I saw her being interviewed by Chris Van Vliet, and I couldn't believe it was the same person. She was beaming with personality and just, you know, I could listen to her talk for 45 minutes. You know, Dasha's great. I was like, where was this Dasha in WWE? You know, and now we find out that they go out of their way to tell you, no, you're showing too much personality. I guess because they don't want you to overshadow the wrestlers. But what is the problem with showing personality? Some of the most famous sportscasters of all time, you know, had a certain charisma. They're revered by fans. In WWE these days, you're not allowed. If you have a microphone in your hand, you've got to just do what you're told. No charisma, no personality. So I never even knew this version of her existed. And here in AEW, at least, she's able to show her personality a little bit more. So she was in the ring to interview the native beast, Nyla Rose. And Nyla Rose last week said that she had enlisted the services of a manager. Did not tell us who the manager was. And she said this week, I'm not going to tell you who the manager is now either. Instead, I'm going to let the manager do the talking for me. And sure enough, out comes Vicky Guerrero. Hardly my boldest prediction last week. I'm sure a lot of people figured it would be her, but it just seemed like an easy one to predict when I picked her last week as probably being the one. Again, we've seen her make sporadic appearances here and there on Dynamite, so she's got that relationship already with the company. So out she comes. Out she comes. And she was talking about how when Nyla is ready to go after the AEW women's title, it's going to be the right time. They're going to wait until the perfect time for her to go after the championship. And she's told all the women in the locker room, stop lying to yourselves about how great you are. You're never going to be smart enough to cheat to win. And Nyla Rose is going to steal every opportunity that you have ever dreamed of. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Typical heel promo. Yeah, look. Time will tell if the combo works. I mean, I predicted it last week. That doesn't mean I like it. I don't know if this is going to work or not. You know, I'm not a huge fan of her also just reusing the whole excuse me shtick that she had in WWE. But I guess we'll see, right? Opposites attract. We'll see how this combo works. I don't know that it makes Nyla any more interesting to me, but Everybody's got a manager these days, right? Cody's got a manager. Sean Spears has a manager. I guess Dustin Rhodes has a manager, right? Isn't Brandy his manager? Who else? Who am I missing? Taz, right, with Brian Cage. Jake the Snake with Lance Archer. I'm sure there's another one or two that I'm not remembering. Getting a manager now is in vogue. It's the thing to do. If I were in wrestling, I'd be a manager. That way I don't have to take bumps. I stay on the outside, run my mouth, maybe trip people every now and then, throw powder in their eyes or something like that, like I'm Mr. Fuji, you know? Cut promos. Easiest job in the world, right? Anyway, we get to the main event. But before we get to the main event, let me play catch up here. Food Hive. The Elite finally acting elite again. Yeah, there's things going on with the Elite. A lot of heel tendencies. They can't all go heel. That's the thing. You can't turn them all. Right, so who's going heel, who's not going heel, who's splitting away, who's not splitting away? That's going to be the story to follow going forward. But at least they're finally doing something interesting with them. You know, they really weren't doing much to make them very interesting, and now all of a sudden, it you know, they're starting to build to something, which is good. Chris Quillman, the Jurassic Express against the Elite was the best match in my opinion, and fingers crossed Eva Lee signs with AEW. The true heel master, the return of the cleaner, is coming. I hope Kenny Omega has a new theme song coming as well. Naima Khan, happy Die Hard Day. Rest in peace to Alan Rickman, one of my favorite actors. I'm surprised WWE did not have a Hans character in the late 80s or in the 90s. Well, they were too busy with the whole Gulf War, Iraqi sympathizer. They didn't have time for German terrorists or anything like that. They can only do their one kind of jingoistic angle at a time in this company, you know? Only got room for one at a time. Big Armada, 1988 with the $5. Today's wrestlers are nuts. I kind of expected it, especially after that crazy Canadian Destroyer spot from last week and that 8-man tag team match. Yeah, I'm not really... Yeah, they feel like they got to up the ante every week. I'm not really a big fan of that. It's innovative stuff. Again, I've never seen half these moves before that they pull off, but, you know, I feel like I'm watching a video game half the time. And Michael Cuomo, thank you for the $2. Your OC thumbs up was too high. It's too high, right? This is too high, right? There we go. How about that? There we go. How's that? Is that good? All right. The broken thumb, is that what it is? The broken thumb? John Moxley against Brian Cage for the AEW World Championship. Moxley was working over Cage's surgically repaired bicep. Now, unless there was a John Moxley promo that I missed, it felt to me like this story of his arm, you know, which he did have an operation many months ago at the beginning of the year when he signed with the company. He had the torn bicep, he had surgery, he was out for many months. Was it really mentioned at all before tonight? It just felt like all of a sudden tonight, the big story became the bicep. I don't really recall. Now, look, maybe Moxley did mention something and I missed it. I certainly don't remember. It just felt like all of a sudden tonight, they remembered that Cage had this injury and they were going to just exploit the injury. And that's what Moxley did in this match. He went after the arm and they brawled outside the ring. There was a belly-to-back suplex by Cage. He tossed Moxley onto a propped up guardrail, slammed him on that. They went to picture in picture, came back, more brawling outside. Cage suplexes Moxley onto a chair that was set up on the floor, back inside. Cage goes for a moonsault. Will never not be impressive to see a guy who looks like Cage hit just a flawless moonsault off the top. He missed it, though. Moxley hit the paradigm shift. Cage kicked out. So Moxley locked on the Kimura lock. Okay, so I have people in the chat telling me that Moxley did mention it. Okay, I said I may have missed it. It just felt to me like they went really hard on that tonight, and before tonight, it really didn't seem like something that was being heavily focused on. But okay, I have people telling me So, I'm not talking about a promo before the match tonight. I saw the promo on the show. I'm not talking about that promo. I'm talking about last week. Or 2 weeks ago. Yes, I saw the promo on tonight's show. I'm talking about before tonight. Was there any real mention of Moxley going after the arm or Cage having a surgically repaired bicep. I saw the promo tonight. I just don't remember it being mentioned a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Hey, this is Kevin Dunn. So Moxley locked on the Kimura lock. Again, working over Cage's arm. He powers out of it. Moxley tried for a cross arm breaker. He wrenches back on it. Cage, he's trying everything he can to contort his body, and he's trying to get out of it. He can't get out of it. And Taz is on the outside. He's freaking out. And all of a sudden, Taz throws in the towel. Taz has his orange towel, and he throws it into the ring. Now, the referee calls the match off. And the story here, as Jim Ross explained, at least they tried to explain, Jim Ross said that Taz is trying to protect his investment. Otherwise, he would have torn the bicep again, and he would have been back on the shelf, and he could ill afford to miss 5 more months of his career, which makes sense. And you could look at it that way, and also that Brian Cage never gave up. He never tapped out. Taz had to do it for him. I didn't like this finish. I just didn't like it. And here's another reason why I didn't like it. So they have Taz throw the towel in. After all this shit-talking, right? Now, for weeks, Taz has been shit-talking Jon Moxley. Taz is the one who throws in the towel. Cage gets back up. He knocks down Moxley with the FTW belt. All of a sudden, the lights go out. Lights come back on, and Darby Allin is back. Darby Allin is on the top rope. He's got his skateboard. He comes off, hits Cage in the shoulder with the skateboard, and Cage powders out of the ring. Now, if Darby Allin was going to get involved here, why couldn't he get involved for the finish? Why couldn't he skateboard on out or something and cause some kind of commotion, go after Taz? Right? Cage sees him going after Taz or something. I mean, I'm not always a huge fan of distraction finishes. You know what I'm not a fan of? I'm not a fan of the dumb baby face easily being distracted. But in this case, I think even a distraction would have made sense. And then the story is, you son of a bitch, you cost this guy the championship. And it keeps Cage strong. You know, the only reason he lost, has to go around talking about the only reason that he didn't win the title is because Darby Allin, that little sawed-off son of a bitch, Darby Allin, you cost Cage the title. Cage now is going to cost you your life. And then it kind of just goes right into the feud now with Cage and Darby. I don't understand. You wait until the matches that you do a finish like that, and then you have Darby show up all of a sudden. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't like that finish. I was not a fan of that finish at all. I thought the match itself was okay. I didn't even really like the match that much, to be honest with you. I wasn't really overly impressed for a match that's been built up now for weeks and weeks. It was very flat. I thought that main event was very underwhelming. I was not a huge fan at all of that main event. So, next Wednesday, we already have the lineup for next Wednesday's show. Cody defends the TNT title. I'm telling you, watch for Matt Cardona. Watch for Zack Ryder. If it's not next week, he's gonna be answering the call soon. Hangman Page takes on 5 of the Dark Order. You know, King Kong Bundy, 5. 5. So he takes on 5 of the Dark Order. Who cares? Ivelisse. There's a name you've heard me mention. Ivelisse takes on former Impact Wrestling star Diamante. So this will be her debut on Dynamite. It will be Ivelisse's debut on Dynamite. Ivelisse, I believe, was brought in for the Battle Royal. Was it All Out? It might have been All Out or All In, All Out. It was All Out, yeah. She was in a Battle Royal once before in AEW, and she also was never signed. Now, there's been a lot of rumors about Ivelisse and her attitude. And look, the fact that she has gone unsigned ever since she got out of her Lucha Underground contract that she had to sue for. She got out of her Lucha Underground contract. WWE didn't sign her. WWE was signing everybody. They didn't sign Ivelisse, even just to keep her at the PC. AEW brought her in for a battle royal. Didn't sign Ivelisse. That tells you something right there. That tells you there's something going on here. And despite that, the fact is that AEW is in desperate need of female talent right now. They have a lot of female talent that is either injured or unavailable because they can't travel. You know, and that goes for Riho, and it goes for Anna Jay, and it goes for, I think, a few others as well. And I guess they feel that, you know, we got to bring in new names. And look, the talent is there. The jury is out on how this is going to work out with Ivelisse. For her sake, this could be her only shot. So, you know, as talented as she is, I hope that she doesn't blow it. I hope she doesn't blow it, and I hope, because I think she could be a real asset to that division. I really do. I think she could be an asset to that division. But there will always be those stories that are going to follow her around, her reputation. I don't want to make the direct comparison to Tessa Blanchard, but it's kind of a similar type of situation where there's a lot of bad stories about her that have followed her around and have probably cost her job opportunities. Just because she's on Dynamite next week does not mean that she will be signed. But the fact is that she is talented and she would be a big addition to that division. AEW has to weigh whether or not they want to bring her in. So that will be on next week's show. MJF will be wrestling as well next week. Falls Count Anywhere, the Young Bucks take on the Butcher and the Blade. And Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Hager is back from his storyline suspension. Jericho and Hager take on Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. So we've already got a full lineup for next week's show. Let's take a look at the polls. See what you guys thought of the action tonight. AEW Dynamite. 78% thumbs up. Roughly 22% thumbs down. And we look at the NXT numbers by comparison. Not as good. Not as good. 66.5% thumbs up. 33.5% thumbs down. Look at this. Russo on a poll. Baby Russo, can't believe it. NXT losing again in the Twitter poll. Actually, last week, NXT, I think that was the closest margin I've ever seen between the two polls. They were almost neck and neck. But not this week. not so far. There it is. Look at that. AEW, NXT. Big difference. There's a big difference there between those two. Now, before we move on here, I want to mention also, because I know I'll forget, that little logo that you see right there above my head, that is the Horror Show Extreme Rules logo. Tomorrow, I'm going to be right back here live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern. So lunchtime. It's lunch hour. Join me at 1 o'clock on YouTube. I'm going to be doing my Extreme Rules predictions. I got a lot of thoughts on this show, this pay-per-view coming up this Sunday. Right there. The Horror Show. That is Monday Night Raw. No, the Horror Show that is Extreme Rules. There we go. Boom. 1 o'clock tomorrow, and then, of course, Sunday night when the pay-per-view is over, I'm going to be right back here again, live, on the YouTube channel to talk about the pay-per-view and all of the goings-on. So I hope you guys, even if you're not a WWE fan, join me anyway. Join me anyway. It's like a party. When we have everybody here together, it's like one big party. So hopefully you guys will join in on the action. Jared M., thank you for the $25 drop. Psycho Jet Black. With the $2, the True Heel Master. Me watching the Nightmare Sisters in tag team action was like eating a piece of Oreo cookie cheesecake. The cheesecake was delicious tonight. Well, I can't have cheesecake, so I'll take your word for it. Scott DeVries, thank you for the 15. Been a huge fan since right after WrestleMania 24. Wow, 2008. That's almost the very beginning. That's 12 years. One of our longtime loyal diehards. And Mike Cochran with the $20. Natural Born Thriller. With the 5, and Magician Sapphire with the 10, and Amari Johnson, thank you for the 2. Do you think that COVID killed the what chance? Well, if COVID kills nothing else, if it kills the what chance, then that's at least something to be happy about. I think it killed the what chance until the crowds come back. It's going to come back. It's like a cockroach. It's going to come back. You can't kill it. It's embedded. It's embedded into the wrestling business now. You can't do anything to stop it. Unfortunately, I don't think we have heard or seen the end of it. I'd like to think that we did, but no, I don't believe that we have. All right, well, we got a full roster here. Also, by the way, because I had some people ask me about the ratings from this week, the Raw ratings, record low. I have a lot to say about that. I'm going to save that for the show on Sunday, 661. You're getting two podcasts on Sunday. You're getting the usual podcast. You're getting the live recap on YouTube. I'll save the ratings talk for then. I'm sure tomorrow afternoon everybody's going to be going crazy waiting for the ratings for AEW and NXT. Everyone's going to grab their swords. They're going to grab their shields. They're going to come together, and all the AEW fans and all the NXT fans, they're going to come together and they're going to fight. That's going to be their fight. That's the AEW and the WWE and the NXT fan. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Every week with this nonsense. 585.
Hey, Solo Monster, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. Long-time listener. Excited to hear you. Just have a couple of quick questions for you. The first is, do you think at some point the AEW will have a TNT Women's title or some kind of secondary title?
Why? Why would they, though? Why? Why would you have a second women's title when they barely have enough women for one?
Well, I was thinking when I saw the Nightmare Sisters of them having a tag team, and I was thinking the same thing, like, why are they having tag team ladies when they don't have enough to have, like, what's the point of them wrestling, pretty much? So that's what got me the thought of the second title.
Yeah, I don't think it's the right time for it. I mean, look, you know, maybe if in a year or two things are different. I don't like that idea at all, just because the women's division right now is probably the weakest part of this company. And on top of that, they don't even have enough women at the moment. So this is the wrong time to be talking about another women's title. I wouldn't do it. I just think focus on the one that you have. And then you can always add down the road. I don't see the need to add one right now.
And then my last question is about some of I don't know if you noticed this trend or not, but some of your Twitter feeds have actually been following the ratings. So typically whoever wins the most votes for your the NXT or AEW Dynamite polls typically wins the ratings here. So I don't know if you noticed that trend or not. But
no, I didn't. I didn't, although I think NXT did. I think NXT did win our poll last week. So you might be right about that. I'd have to check that out. But no, I did not know that. So thank you.
So if that continues, that means tomorrow that AEW will have ended the streak. So.
Well, yeah, I guess wait. Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see. Right now, AEW is leading. That doesn't mean that, you know, tomorrow morning the poll results could be different. So, but right now they're leading by a pretty healthy margin.
But thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you. Long-time listener. Keep doing what you're doing. I'd love to see some more of your content on YouTube, even if it's some old stuff that you talked about, the interview you had with Bob Holly.
I would tell everybody. And I'm going to hopefully do more of those inboxes. I'm working on a new sound-off inbox. But if you want to hear the Bob Holly interview, the full thing, it's up on the channel. You just type in Solid Monster Bob Holly on YouTube. It'll probably be the first thing that comes up. That was one of the best interviews I ever did because we covered a lot of ground. We covered steroids and the concussion lawsuit and a lot of the stories about Bob, too, that have been told over the years. The Tough Enough incident, all that stuff. So definitely, that's a good one. That's one of the best interviews I ever did. So I would encourage everybody to go and check that out if you never listened to it. That's audio only. But it is up on the YouTube channel. 631.
Hey, what's going on, Solo? It's Scott out in Long Island, man.
Hey, Scott.
I thought it was a good show tonight, especially the first hour. I thought the first hour was, I mean, they really packed it out. The good matches, you know, Lucha Brothers, FTR. I thought it might have been the 9 o'clock stretch, but coming out as a second match, I was like, wow, these guys are definitely packing the punch the first 8 to 9 hour tonight. And to be honest, I thought they, I know you said you thought the main event fell flat a little bit, and I actually agreed as well. And you were talking about Darby coming out during the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a perfect trim rather than, you know, lights go out, ECW style, the old Sandman gimmick, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been perfect if you did it during the match and had him come out.
Yeah, I just think he was there, he went after Cage, and given the finish that they did, I mean, look, again, you could argue he didn't give up, he didn't tap out, Taz had to throw the towel in, so that's their way of keeping him strong. But you had Darby there, obviously you're now going to go to Cage and Darby. Darby should have cost him the match. What the hell's Darby waiting for?
Not to mention that I imagine you're going to have Cage go over Darby at the end of this feud, which, you know, it's going to be a pay-per-view long stretch feud.
Yeah.
It's a decent stretch. Why not have Darby get the the one over on him, cost him the title, to keep Darby a little bit strong, you know, to keep Darby a little bit of credit.
Well,
instead
just,
of having him be like...
Well, no, I mean, look, Darby was out, right, in storyline because Cage injured
right.
him. So if I'm Darby Allin, I'm thinking, how could I get back at this guy for what he did to me, right? Yeah, I mean, I can come out and hit him with a skateboard, but boy, you know what I would do? I would cost him the championship because that would
right.
really piss him off. So I just think that would have made more sense. I just wasn't a fan of what they did. I didn't like it.
Now, other than that, tonight, I thought it was very interesting. A few weeks ago, me and you had both gone over the evolution of Kenny and Hangman
mm-hmm.
and how maybe Kenny is going to be the heel turn. And if there wasn't any more evidence that Kenny has got something going on with his character in the next few months, and I know Dave Meltzer reported a few weeks ago that, you know, the whole plan was for Kenny in year two to break out. And me and you had said that also. You know, Kenny Omega is Kenny Omega. If you guys are sitting there, arguing, saying that he's not had the results we thought he would, the guy's one of the greatest wrestlers on the planet. He's going to get over.
Yeah,
maybe now is the time
yeah.
that he breaks free of this, the elite. And you see that a little extra, especially on Marco. Marco's always the guy that get you the extra, the cheap heat, as you would say. It's very easy to get heat on Marco. Now, there's no crowd we'd never be able to tell, but Kenny now doing something like that tonight with Matt and Nick coming after him, I think that's very interesting.
Well, it's about time they did something interesting with Kenny. I mean, I think it's been too long. I mean, I know he's the tag team champion and all, but it's like, all right, pick up the pace and let's get going here, because I think people are getting a little tired of just not doing anything. So even if what we saw tonight was just a one-time thing, he lost his cool. We saw shades of kind of the old Kenny Omega there. It's like, all right, this is good. This is something different. So I'd like to see them. I mean, I really would like to see them just do more with that. And it's long overdue. You know, it's long overdue that we finally are getting something with Kenny Omega other than just him coming out and acting all silly and just having some good matches and really not doing anything else. At some point, you've got to evolve the character, and you've got to just, you know, do more with it. So yeah, I agree. Anything else before we let you go here and we move along?
Thought it was a good show tonight, and I hope they just keep chugging along just like you, Solo, man. Great job tonight, and great job on the cast, man. Keep them coming.
Thank you, man. You keep listening, I'll keep pumping them out. Let's go to 416. I think this is Canada.
Hey, I have two questions. You think tomorrow, just for all your Solo Monster heads, we get a double prediction show with you reviewing the horror show, Extreme Rules and Slammiversary?
No, just because I'm not really up on I haven't been following Impact week to week. So for me to make predictions, they're not based on anything. It would just be total guesswork. The only thing I'll give you a prediction right now. I think EC3 is going to be in the main event. I think EC3 is going to win the world title. There's my prediction.
And do you think it's overkill that every week on SmackDown we keep getting matches featuring Alexia Kaufman and Nicola Glenn Cross against Mercedes Bernardo and Pamela Martinez?
Now, why are you using their real names?
I want to keep it real.
Well, most people probably don't even know what their real names are. You're going to confuse people. I mean, I know who they are, but am I tired of seeing them against Alexa and Nikki? Yes, I am, and I hope that it's
okay.
Over. And
after me,
I hope. Yeah, I hope that it's so. I'm gonna let you go. I hope that that's the end of it, because I think we've seen enough of Sasha and Bayley against Alexa and Nikki. We're gonna get the singles match on Sunday between Bayley and Nikki. Nikki's not gonna win, but I think we've seen enough. I think it's time to move on to other challengers or just drop the belts. But I will agree with your comment though that I think we've seen enough of that. Natural Born Thriller, thank you for the 10. Off topic here, but would it have made sense if Takahashi won the New Japan Cup, betray Naito, and win the IWGP title and the IWGP IC title to make sense based on their history? Well, it probably would have made more sense than what they did with Evil. So I really can't argue that. Deadpool, good to hear from you. $10. Thank you, my friend. The True Heel Master, AEW fans versus NXT fans in Super Smash Brothers or Mortal Kombat with blood and guts spilling everywhere. All I hear is sniping. Sniping. Stupid sniping. Let's just enjoy the shows. At least we have one good night of wrestling, right? You get a good Raw every now and then. You get a good SmackDown once every blue moon. You know, Haley's Comet. It's about as often as we'll get a really good show. But for the most part, they made me want to bang my head against the wall over here. At least Wednesdays, we have wrestling that doesn't make me want to bang my head against the wall. Like, I'm looking forward now to watching NXT tomorrow. We'll see what they do with Keith Lee and how they move that story along with Keith Lee. And Karrion Kross, where are they going to go? What are they going to do with Adam Cole in the Undisputed Era? I don't want to see him go to Raw. I don't want to see him go to SmackDown. Not yet. Don't let the old man get him yet. At least we have Wednesdays. Without Wednesdays, we have nothing. 702.
Jason? Saw Monster?
That's me.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I didn't know I was on. Hi. Name is Chase. I'm first-time caller. Love the podcast. Absolutely huge fan.
Thank you.
I had a question. With Cage out of the way now, who do you think is going to be the next challenger for Moxley's title at All Out? Do you think it'll be Cage, or who do you think?
MJF.
Okay, that's a good. I could see MJF getting in there.
It's gonna be MJF because he's next in the rankings, and MJF was talking on Twitter too. He's saying I'm going to be watching this match tonight very closely. I thought they would do the match maybe a double or nothing, but I guess that was a little too quick. Just seems to me like he's right there at the top of the rankings. It's no one else that really makes sense yet. I mean, we're not going to get Moxley and Omega yet, or Moxley and Hangman. There's still time for that. So I think it's MJF.
Okay. And then last question. Do you think that we will continue to get kind of this casino battle royal style winner every single year to challenge the AEW champion at Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest every single year?
If they want.
Like we did Brian Cage this year?
Yeah, I don't recall them doing it last year. So if this was the first time, it's hard to, you can't call anything a pattern until it happens at least twice. They could do it. I mean, that could become their thing. That way, at least it gives the Battle Royal. I mean, here's the thing, though. So this year we had a ladder match. Usually it would be a Battle Royal for obvious reasons. I guess they just didn't want to do a Battle Royal. So whatever form that match takes, Double or Nothing is probably their biggest show of the year or one of the two biggest shows they do all year. There's got to be something at stake. So I would say, yeah. What do you put at stake? You put a world title match. It's almost like their money in the bank.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Love the podcast.
Thank you. Calling again. That was from Vegas. Let's go to a different part of the country. Let's go to Tennessee, I believe. 423.
Hey, Jason. This is me, James Vaughn. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually from Georgia.
I don't know why it said Chattanooga, but okay, I'll take Georgia.
That's fine. Yeah. it's down here. It's been hot down here. And just
it's been hot up here.
Trying to keep us. Oh yeah, I bet it is, man. I've been listening to your show, and I just want to say I listened to the one couple hours ago about the whole, you know, when DDP and stuff like that when he was in, when he, you know, I kind of agree with the whole how the, you know, the whole DDP. How they didn't do it right when he came in the WWE.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of feedback. I got a lot of reaction to that video.
Yeah.
A lot of people. You know, it's funny. I didn't expect that to be the big video of the week when I put all the clips on the channel.
Yeah.
I thought it would be the one about Evolution 2 and or the ratings. I got a lot of feedback on the ratings video. But that DDP video, you know, I clipped it from Sunday's show, and it's got like 12,000 views and like hundreds of comments. And I haven't seen one comment really disagreeing with me over the point that I made. A lot of people very upset with what they did with DDP when he came into WWE.
Oh, yeah. I think AEW was an okay show. I didn't really like the main event. I thought, listen, I hate to be this guy, but I'll just say it. I like Moxley. I think Moxley's a good wrestler, but as champion, he can't carry a match. I mean, his best matches he's had since he's been in there is with Omega and Jericho. After that, it's kind of like, I'm ready to see MJF be champion.
Well, let's see. What, so beyond Jericho and Omega, what are the matches we've seen him in since he became champion? He defended against Brody Lee, right? And that wasn't, you know, it was good. It wasn't an overly, you know, great match or anything. I take that back. I think that was a very good brawl that the two of them had. But it was just a last minute thing. I mean, that was not the original plan for that pay-per-view. Tony Khan has said, I think, in fact, that that was one of maybe two things that they did not originally have planned for that show. I don't know who the challenger would have been. Maybe it would have been MJF. Who knows? So we saw him against Brody Lee. We've now seen him against Jake Hager. You're right about that. I mean, that match did nothing for me. And the match and the match tonight was better than the Hager match, but, you know, I mean, there was really there was really nothing great about it. So are we looking at a situation where the opponents have not been the right opponents, or can we point the finger of blame at Jon Moxley? I think there's blame to go around on all sides.
Yeah, both, because, you know, it's just one of the things where Moxley's trying to be champion, and when you put him against, like, the Knights, you know, Brian Cage, you know, he tried to. I mean, they both tried. It's just one of the things where it's like, I mean, honest with you, I was flipping the channels. I was like, man, this match is not, I mean, that's what I'm saying. When you hop that match up and then you do what you, you know, how they did it, you know, come on, you know.
Yeah, I mean, his reign has not, and the part of his reign has really been just ruined. I mean, I say the same thing about Drew McIntyre. It's been ruined by the whole COVID situation. And I really feel bad for Drew because now he's taking the brunt of the blame for the ratings woes and everything. And if you're going to blame him, I think you got to blame more than just Drew McIntyre. I mean, you could say maybe he deserves part of the blame, but I feel like him and Moxley, like if they were able to go out there and just feed off those crowds and react to the crowds, and I think some of the matches would be different. I feel like they're holding back on some of the big, big matches because they're waiting for crowds to come back. The problem is crowds aren't coming back for a long time.
Right.
I think reality is starting to set in here, and Vince McMahon is starting to realize too, because apparently he's very upset. He was hoping to have crowds by SummerSlam, and I'm just thinking to myself, are you completely divorced from reality? Like, I mean... They'll be lucky if they do WrestleMania anywhere but the Performance Center next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ask me right now, there is no WrestleMania in LA next year. So if you are planning on going to LA, or if you have your, I guess the tickets aren't on sale yet, but if you were planning on going to LA, or if you think it's going to be in that big stadium, you are going to be very disappointed, because Philadelphia just announced, and Philadelphia is a big city, right? Big wrestling city. Philadelphia just announced that they're not allowing any events of more, like gatherings of more, I think, than 50 people until February of next year at the earliest. Now, that's Philadelphia. Philadelphia doesn't have it.
Right.
Pennsylvania doesn't have it as bad as California does right now. So I just think these people are just completely divorced from reality. And if you're WWE and AEW, I think you've just got to just sit down and think and say, okay, well, what were we kind of holding back and waiting on doing, because we may just have to go with it. The blood and guts match. Like, how long are they going to wait before they do the blood and guts match? 2 years?
Right.
How long can you wait?
I agree. I mean, I'm with you on that, because I thought the same thing. It's just like Vince has got that Donald Trump syndrome where he thinks that that's going to happen. And
Well,
you got to be.
Vince is, he's, I'm sure, very stubborn, and I'm sure he wants to be, I want to be the first, right? I want to be the first to come back and have crowds and everything else, which is not true, I think, because my brother told me apparently there's some kind of NASCAR race or something this weekend. I think that's going to have like 20 or 30,000 people, which, whatever. Look, I think that Moxley is one of many who has, in part, been hurt by the situation, but you can't just blame it all on that. I do think he deserves some of the blame. I mean, these matches have been, you know, in some cases, underwhelming. But, you know, Jake Hager, I mean, there's only so much you can do. You put him in the ring with Jake Hager, world title match, I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it.
No, Jake. I'm not a. I like Jake, but I'm just not a fan of Jake. I just think they just. I mean that my issue with AEW is just the fact that you've got to get more people, like more women on the roster, and get more guys on the roster. You need to build your roster because I'm feeling like if you're relying on Moxley and Jericho so much that, and even the Young Bucks are back, and I'm glad, but still, what I'm saying is, Jason, is you've got to. You know, it's like in baseball or football, you have to build your roster. If you don't build your roster, you're gonna have anything.
Yeah, no, I mean that's a fair point. I'm gonna let you go. Anything else before any final words here? This has been a good discussion here. Anything else?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say I hope you have a good rest of the week and talk to you next week.
Thank you, I appreciate that. It's a good point to make. If you have been underwhelmed by what you have seen from Jon Moxley as the AEW champion, there are definitely things you can point to as things that have handicapped him that are out of his control. But the reality is, his reign has been very underwhelming so far. It just has been. And would I put the title on MJF at All Out? It just depends on so many different factors. It really depends on who's next. You know, there's still unfinished business, I think, or business that you can revisit with Moxley and Omega. Should that not be for the title? Or if you put the title on MJF, or he's a heel, who's the babyface challenger? Is it Hangman? You do go into a Hangman-MJF feud? So I'm not against it. I'm not against the idea of waiting until All Out and then taking the title off of him. But it depends what they're going to do with Omega and what they're going to do with Cody and what they're going to do with Hangman. We'll just have to see. I don't know what their storyline plans are. Maybe if I phone Dave Meltzer, somebody said before Dave Meltzer was saying that the Kenny Omega thing is a 2-year plan. How does he know that? How does he know that? Unless somebody has specifically told him, hey, listen, here's our blueprint of our plans for the next 2 years. Is he on the board of directors there or something? Maybe I'll phone him. Maybe he can clue me in on what's going on next. 651.
What is up, Solomon? Sir, it is your favorite, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Let me see. Do you think, like, for AEW, because, like, I feel like they do, like, too many matches and not enough, like, backstage stuff and all that. Do you think they should incorporate the, like, B&D Elite and all that to the show? Because, like, I feel like, at least for me and maybe a lot of us that don't watch everything AEW, that we miss some of the details, like the Nightmare Sisters. I don't know like how that popped up, so it's probably like in one of those videos.
Well, the Nightmare Sisters, I think, is just an outgrowth of whatever that story was they were doing with QT and Allie, and I know Dustin wasn't fine. He thought that Allie was distracting QT and taking his eye off the ball, and you know, Cody or Brandy is managing Dustin now, or she was. So I think it's just an outgrowth of a storyline that was already being done. Now QT has COVID, so he's not around. So they're just doing this tag team now. I don't know how long it's going to last. They don't seem like they're on the same page. Maybe they're just going to end up wrestling each other. I mean, I keep calling Brandy Cody. A Brandy Alley match doesn't excite me. So I don't really have any interest in going down that road. I would rather they just start finding people to wrestle Sheeta. Yeah, the whole Nightmare Sisters, the Nightmare Collective, it's all just one big nightmare to me. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. And then I just want to share like a quick little story, like, because every time you talk about like how you had the chance to go to One Night Stand in 05, it brings me back to like 10 years ago to this day or whatever, I went to my first ever TNA event, which was when Tommy Dreamer and all of them invaded. So it was like, at least for me, being a like ECW, WCW, like curiosity, like fan, I fucking loved all of it. And then I got to go to Hardcore Justice, and I guess to all of you guys, it may have sucked, but to me, it was probably like the greatest show ever. Cause it made me feel at peace. Like I got to go to, in quotations, a One Night Stand in TNA.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are shows where a lot of us would watch it and think, man, that sucked. But if you're in the crowd, and I've been to shows like that before, except that that one fatal four-way pay-per-view that WWE did in 2010. I was there, and it did suck. But there are events that you will go to, and because you were there, you get the live experience, and so it kind of changes your... You'll have a different opinion. Like, somebody watching on TV says, oh, it sucked. But if you were there, you know, you can have a lot of fun going to some of these shows. So, no, I understand that completely, and it still bothers me to this day that I didn't go to that one-night stand show. I think even if I wanted to go, the chances of me being able to get a ticket were probably very low. I have to tell myself that to convince myself of that. Otherwise, I'll be very upset. So, thank you for reminding me about that. So, I'm kidding.
And then one more quick question. Of course, shout out to the group and my little faction with Turtlehead. We are the essential jockasses.
Oh,
so
shout out to them. Little bastard Turtlehead. starting to get more over than me.
Right? Two quick questions. Buy or sell on the Better Eagle title, the shitty ECW belt or the new US belt?
Which ECW belt are you talking about?
The WWE silver one.
Oh, yeah, that one. The the Tupperware title. I've seen pictures of the new U.S. title. Like, on television, the new U.S. title looks terrible, I think. But I've seen pictures of it, and outside of television, it actually looks kind of... It looks good. So I would buy on the new U.S. title.
And then just one last thing. So since I've been watching Golden Girls, I fucking love Dorothy and Sophia.
Look at this. We got a whole Golden Girls like group going on here. I'm going to have to start doing live streams, like reviewing all the old episodes here during this freaking pandemic. I didn't know we had so many Golden Girls fans here. It's amazing.
Sophia is like the greatest. She's so blunt, straight to the point, and hilarious.
Oh, she's awesome. I'll tell you what. I'll say this one thing real quick. I don't remember the name of the episode because every episode has a title. I don't know all the titles of all the episodes, but there was one classic episode, which was really, again, the writing on the show was stellar. And I think the premise of the show was it was a rainy day, like a nasty day. And the other three, because it was four of them. So the other three were going to be at home and just kind of figuring out, okay, what are we going to do today? Well, we'll do some cleaning around the house. Nah, I don't really want to do that. So they're just bumming it out and they're being lazy. And Sophia goes out. They ask her, where are you going? And she goes, I'm going to buy, I think, like a nectarine. I'm going to go buy a nectarine. And the whole episode is just following her around. And she ends up going to like some kind of local shelter to help out. And she's doing all of these different things that they have no idea she's doing. So like she's making the most of her day. But there's one scene where she's in the supermarket and she sees her a friend of hers, this other old lady, and she's like, what's the problem? And she goes, yeah, the guy told me that this pear, whatever, this piece of fruit, like, I don't, whatever, 50 cents, and he's like overcharging me. And she goes, I'll take care of it. And she goes over to the grocer, and I think, what was the big line? It was like the big money line in the scene was like, I don't know, blow it out your ass. It was something like really funny that you wouldn't have expected her to say. And then as she comes walking back to the woman, like all you see in the background is the grocer. And he's got this like stunned look on his face. Like he couldn't believe that she just said what she said. I don't know. There's just certain episodes. I feel like if people actually watch the show, I really think they would enjoy it. Like it's a funny show.
It's really good.
It's a funny show. Yeah. I have to say, for many years, I didn't think it was because I didn't give it a chance. So, anyway, keep an open mind, people. See, me and him, we're telling you to keep an open mind. Even if you're not in the target demographic, you might like it. Anything else?
Yep. All I got to say is thank you for the phone call. As always, I'll call in next week. And as always, thank you for being a friend.
Oh, my God. He went with the thank you for being a friend line. Oh, that was very corny. That was a little too corny for me. Now you're going to make me sing the song. I don't want to sing the song. If I sing this, I'll sing the song so well that I'll get a copyright strike. they'll think that I'm actually singing the actual song. I can't believe he hit me with that line. Oh, douche chills. I'm just kidding. Who'd we miss here with the super chats? Oz and Glorious with the $5. Where is Dry Chicken Without Flavor? Yeah, we haven't heard from him. I hope he's okay. I hope he's all right. We haven't heard from him. And the True Heel Master with the five, Jericho, Adam Page, Steve Austin, Ric Flair, John Moxley. One of them has to be the designated driver. Well, it ain't going to be Jericho, because he's always got the Grey Goose, or the bubbly, I guess now, would be his thing. Austin, I don't think Austin drinks much anymore. Maybe he's trying to stay fit. So Stone Cold would be the designated driver, probably. Actually, Moxley was on, Brandy has that show, what's it called, A Shot with Brandy or something. She's got like a cooking show on the AEW YouTube channel. It's like Cooking with Brandy, or A Shot of Brandy. That's what it is. A Shot of Brandy, and she had John Moxley as her guest last month. And I only saw this, I only knew about this a few days ago, so I started watching it. And I was great, because I'm watching it, and Moxley is talking about his favorite drink, and he's got the bottle of Jack Daniels, as I do downstairs. I haven't had any of it in a month, but he's got the bottle of Jack Daniels. He goes, and he's trying to talk it up like it's like a sophisticated drink. He goes, and with it, they have this thing called Coke. But he made a very interesting point. He says, you don't have the like Coca-Cola here from this country. You go with Mexican Coke. Because apparently something with the sugar cane, or it's just sweeter, or I forgot what he said, but I had never heard that before. Unfortunately, I have no Mexican Coke of either variety here in this house, but I will one day have to try that. Mix some Mexican Coke with the Jack Daniels and see how it goes. All I have is the regular stuff. He has the good stuff. I don't have the good stuff. I have to do something about that. See, when I say Mexican Coke, I have to specify what kind of Mexican Coke I'm talking about. 919.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I've got some Mexican Coke. How about you?
Sounds fun. I wish I had some.
I think we all wish we had some. Especially when I take these phone calls. So, what's your question?
Right. I was just going to say, ever since Moxley became champion, I haven't really watched AEW that much, but I've checked in and out. And I like the new TNT title Cody has. But I'd like to see the title go on MJF and see how he would run with the title. And as for NXT, I was just going to say that Keith Lee, he's amazing. I can't wait to see him and Cross go at it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching NXT. The only thing they promoted for the show tonight outside of the main event, which was Io Shirai and Tegan Nox, was just the promo with Keith Lee. So, you know, I assume, again, I haven't watched it yet. I'm not going to spoil it if anybody else hasn't watched it, but I assume Cross must have been involved. Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to watch it tomorrow after I do my Extreme Rules prediction stream and get all caught up on NXT. I'm really happy for him. I talked about him on the podcast this weekend. I like it when good things happen to good people. And by every, I mean, when I listen to him talk in interviews, or I hear other people talk about him and working with him, I've never heard anybody say a negative word about Keith Lee. He comes across as the nicest, most humble guy. And, you know, again, he's very good. He's very athletic and everything. So to finally see him in that spot is a good feeling. I like seeing good things happen to good. Too often we hear about good things happening to shitheads and bad people. And God knows in the wrestling business, there's also a lot of those people too. But Keith Lee is not in that category. So when he won the title, I was, even though it was spoiled, people said, oh, the moment was spoiled, it was ruined. You know what? You got to see him celebrate, right, at the end of the show. And I felt happy for him. So it was a good feeling.
I just have one question for you before I go.
Mm-hmm.
You said WrestleMania is going to be canceled next year in the Rams' new stadium out there in L.A. So what do you think they're going to do it in the Performance Center again, or you think they'll have some type of capacity, like a 25% or anything?
Yeah, I mean,
back-to-back WrestleManias? Like,
oh, yeah. Look, I don't like that idea any more than you do. I can't stand these shows in the Performance Center at all. I can't stand Raw and SmackDown at the Performance Center. I'm ready to just throw my hands up in the air and give up on the whole damn thing. But somebody asked for my opinion. My opinion is we ain't getting WrestleMania in a stadium next year. Now, could they do WrestleMania? Because look, March, April, still a long ways off. Could they do it in a regular size arena with half the capacity, people spaced out? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It depends on what's going on in some of these states. What state would take them in? What state's open? What state's not open? I mean, nobody knows. I don't know. Nobody knows. You know, no one seems to know what's going to happen from month to month anymore. But this has been a horrendous summer. I feel bad for the people in some of these places like Florida and California, Arizona. I mean, they're having a real, you know, tough time right now. And I just hope that, you know, we're able to get some semblance of a crowd back soon, because, you know, wrestling was meant to be held in front of people, not NXT trainees, real fans, real people who are vocal and who are reacting. And in the grand scheme of everything that's going on, wrestling isn't important. It's really not. But if you're a wrestling fan, I think one thing that you've come to really appreciate, and I hope that WWE and all these companies have really come to appreciate, that the fans are one of the biggest parts of the show. They are, in many ways, the show. And when you remove them from the show, shows aren't as good. So if WWE doesn't come away with any other lesson learned here, it is don't take your fans for granted, which they still, to this day, do. I think is half the reason why they're in the predicament that they're in, and they keep going down every single week in the numbers, because they take their fans for granted. They assume they're always going to be there. Well, they'll keep watching. They say they're going to stop watching, and they don't stop watching. They're always going to be there. Now look what's going on. You chase them all away. And guess what? When all this is over, I don't think a lot of them are coming back. And that sucks. Because when those fans leave and they don't come back, it's not just bad for WWE, and it's not just bad for AEW. It's bad for everybody. It's bad for podcasters. It's bad for YouTubers. Traffic goes down. Revenue goes down. Overall interest goes down. It's not good for anybody. But I got news for you. A lot of those people aren't coming back. 6 months from now, they're going to turn around and be like, hey, you know what? I don't need wrestling in my life. So wrestling is... it's awful. In a lot of ways, it's awful in this environment. And the quicker we can get people back, the better. But you just got to be realistic, I think, about these things. You know what I mean? I mean, some things are just not that important. So wrestling is one of those things. It's just not. Despite however WWE may be classified, wrestling is not essential. That is what we have learned. Wrestling is not essential. Let's go to 213.
Hey, Fallen Monster, it's me, Luis. How are you doing?
I thought it might be you. Hey, Luis, I haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Did you see AEW Dynamite Fight for the Fallen tonight?
I did not, but I am watching NXT right now.
All right. Well, don't spoil anything, because I'm sure we have people.
No spoilers.
Okay, good. I'm sure we have people who have not yet watched the show. Hopefully you are enjoying it. I plan on watching it tomorrow. But because we're not talking about NXT, and because you didn't see AEW, I'm not sure what kind of conversation you and I could have right now.
Well, here's a good question, because right now you said that it's uncertain that WrestleMania will not happen in California next year. Let me tell you this. Yes, we had to roll back, and everything is now closed again.
I heard about that. I did hear about that, yes, because people were not behaving themselves. I hope you were behaving yourself, Luis. I hope you were not running around playing games and flouting all the rules.
Hell no!
That's right, because Luis, he respects the rules, right? You respect the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Obey.
So,
remember They Live? Obey? Luis obeys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So should everybody else.
Well, those are certainly words to live by. Anything else here before we move on?
Yeah, I was going to say, fuck Orange County officials for reopening schools in the fall.
All right, there you
and
go.
And I mean Orange County here in California. You know, my neighboring county.
Right. Yes, of course. Oh, well, I thought you were about to say, fuck Orange Cassidy. I was wondering what Orange Cassidy did to you. And then you swerved me a little bit there. You said Cassidy, the county. You went a totally different direction than I thought you were going to go in. So that was a good swerve, Luis. That was a good swerve.
So I have a question.
All right, make it quick because we got to move on here.
If you have the power to fire one person, rehire one person, and give one person a push, well, who would those three people be? And why?
Well, I don't like firing anybody. I don't want to see anybody get fired, even the people I don't like. I don't want to see them lose their job, so I'm not gonna throw out names of people who, you know, I wanna see fired. There's a lot of people who did lose their jobs in April who I think deserve an opportunity. You know, Rusev, hopefully get well soon. He's got COVID, or he was told anyway that he has COVID. Once he's hopefully feeling better, I'd like to see him land in a place like AEW. I think he could be a solid addition to that roster. Very entertaining guy, very charismatic guy. I'd like to see him get a chance. I'd like to see, I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, the NWA, let me just mention them real quick, because the NWA, I've enjoyed their product. I've been a fan. I've watched from the very beginning of NWA Power. And I go and I see this clip today, and I'm not sure how many people even saw this. And also, I'm not sure how much of an authority he is on this, so I wouldn't take his words for gospel. But I saw Raven was being interviewed by Hannibal on the Hannibal TV YouTube channel. And he talked about being friendly with Billy Corgan, and they may have known each other, maybe from Impact, maybe, or I'm sorry, not Impact, but Billy was booking in a independent promotion in Chicago, whose name escapes me. Ah, I forgot the name. Somebody in the chat, let me know, what was the name of the independent promotion in Chicago that Billy Corgan was running or booking? But anyway, I guess Raven knew him from there, whatever, they got friendly, but Raven says that Billy Corgan is getting ready to shut down the NWA. Now, I've not heard anything official about this from the NWA. NWA has been very silent since, you know, Dave Lagana resigned, Ricky Starks left, Zicky Dice is supposedly getting his release. So I hear this, and it makes me sad, because here's another promotion like Lucha Underground. I loved Lucha Underground, and it just ended. And we never even got a final resolution to the storylines, and it just ended. And it was a real blow. I really enjoyed that show. And now we have another one here with NWA. If Raven is to be believed, it's only a matter of time before the announcement is made. Or at least that seems to be the direction, according to him, that Billy Corgan is leaning in. The NWA may not be around much longer, and I think that's very sad, because they had a good thing going. That was very small, but they had a good thing going, and, you know, this is all COVID. I mean, I was wondering how much longer can they go on like this, and I think now we may have our answer. But that's just from Raven. Again, I don't know what kind of inside track he may or may not have on that, but I was very disappointed to hear that. Yeah, and the allegations, JC mentioned the allegations. So between COVID and then what happened with Lagana, you know, and now people are asking for their release. The writing seems to be on the wall for the NWA. And that's going to be the second promotion now that I enjoyed that's going under. Brandon with the answer in the chat, Resistance Pro. That was the name of the promotion. It was Resistance Pro. So thank you for that. I couldn't think of the name. It was like right on the tip of my tongue, and I couldn't think of it. Let's see here. We've got Rob Bass. Shout out to my fellow essential jockasses in the chat. First time super chat from Rob. It's always my favorite insult from No Holds Barred. Jockass. I was hoping to kind of revive it and bring it back. Chase Wood, sorry for how I sounded on the call earlier. I was drunk. Well, you know, there are people in the chat who usually think some of these callers are drunk. Now we have a caller who confirms that he was, in fact, drunk when he called into the live stream. But he says, I was drunk and I'm in a bit of pain from a car crash yesterday. Oh, that's no bueno. Please stay safe, everyone. Well, I hope you're feeling better. Don't drink to dull the pain, because that's not going to be good either. So hopefully it was nothing too serious. The True Heel Master says, your blue eyes, Solomonster looks more brighter at times on the webcam. Well, when I open my eyes, then, yeah, they're going to look brighter. I do have blue eyes, though. And Turtlehead. Can we get an all-call-in stream? I don't know about that. But we will be taking calls tomorrow at the end of the Extreme Rules predictions. You guys can call in with your own predictions. So if you want to call in again, you won't have to wait very long, because in less than 24 hours, actually in less than probably 13 or 14 hours from now, I'm going to be live again. And then we'll take calls at the end of that stream. Let us take one or two more, and then we'll wrap things up here, because I do have to edit and then try to get some sleep at least. And then I do have another job. Got a lot of jobs. If I was a wrestler, I'd be doing nothing but jobs. Let's go to 781.
Hey, what's up, Jason? It's James.
Hey, James.
How you doing, man? So since you want to wrap this up quick, I'll be quick with my questions. So the first one is obviously the FTW Championship. I don't know if you saw it when Brian Cage was coming in, but he actually apparently is defending the championship, and the last defense recently was on AEW Dark against Brian Pillman Jr. My question is, do you see them doing a storyline where it's kind of like an unofficial championship for a while, and then him and Darby Allin fight, and then they put the FTW title on the line, and then Darby Allin wins the belt, and then has the belt like as an official title or something, and it almost becomes like a mix of the never open weight title and the hardcore title? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I could see that happening. I feel like, I hope it wouldn't take away though from the story that I would like to see them go towards, which is Cody eventually dropping the TNT title to Darby, because there's unfinished business between Cody and Darby. But yeah, I could see that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I did see the match, by the way, on Dark. This was Brian Pillman Jr.'s second match on Dark. I haven't seen much from him, really. These matches have been very short. He's, you know, he's fine. I mean, there's nothing really outstanding. It still stuns me how much he looks like his dad. It freaks me out a little bit. But we really haven't been able to see much from him in these matches. I think Cage was like 3 minutes. Cage, you know, finished him off quickly, so I think we'll get some title defenses. I think I could see Darby winning it, yeah. I don't think Darby should win, though, when they have their first match. I think Cage needs a solid win. But if they keep it going, could he eventually win the championship? Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But I just don't want it to take away from the eventual story with him. And he should be going after the TNT title. He should. That's
for
the title.
For
he
sure,
should,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, if not him, then who?
Right.
I want them to do that. And so I don't want this to take away from that. But, yeah, I could see that. I think we'll get a few more title defenses. Yeah, I think, yeah, they're saying it's not an officially recognized title. But, I mean, you know, even the $1 million belt in WWE was not an officially recognized title. And he defended it, right? Virgil won it. Oh, I'm sorry. Bobby Heenan corrects me. Virgil stole it.
Right, yeah.
Virgil stole it.
Yeah.
And then DiBiase got it back.
I feel like you could do it as an official title just for, like, one, it's a historical prize that the boys can fight for, and then two, it's, you could have another singles championship that finally have a title that necessarily doesn't follow the rankings, like, just kind of what Taz said, whoever holds that belt is, like, the toughest son of a bitch on the planet, and, you know, no DQs, no rules for that specific championship. I think that can really do well for them. My second question is about the women. Obviously, this doesn't relate to the whole Nightmare Sisters. I'm not sure how I feel about that yet. Although, Brandi hits a hell of a spear. My thing is, why have they not gotten Mako Satomura? I swear she was a part of the Stardom brand, wasn't she? And they have a partnership with Stardom. They are so low with these women. how do you not get a chick like that? That was like the final boss of the entire Mae Young Classic. How do you not get a girl like that?
Well, I mean, at her age, she's a woman now, not a girl. But I think that...
Right, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's, maybe she doesn't want to go. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. They could certainly bring her in even just for, you know, like a couple of matches if they wanted to. I mean, now... She's not going anywhere now. I mean, the whole travel situation. So that pretty much takes her off the table. Which reminds me, I saw something earlier about Mayu. Was it Mayu Iwatani? I think is making some kind of big announcement this week. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, they're predicting that she's
retiring.
Her retirement.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. She's been around a while. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
it's almost like these.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. So I think even if they wanted to at this point. It's not even possible. So, you know, it's not even worth discussing because
saying later.
Yeah.
If there's a later. The third question, and then I'll make this my final one.
Mm-hmm.
They did have a NASCAR race. It was actually the NASCAR All-Star. And this brings up a WrestleMania question and just a question about wrestling events with crowds in general. NASCAR had their all-star race, and they had that's the event that had 30,000 people. So, as in America, WWE's already beat anyway, so there goes that. But do you see, if they don't have WrestleMania in LA, happening in Tennessee in the Food City 500 at that arena? Because that's realistically the only place I can see them ever doing it, because Tennessee's freaking nuts as far as policy goes with this whole COVID situation and just wrestling events in general in Tennessee.
I don't know if Vince McMahon's ego would allow him to take WrestleMania and put it in Tennessee. I don't know that he looks at Tennessee as being a place that wrestle. I mean, look, he goes into some of these cities and he won't even allow the city names to be used if he thinks it's some kind of small city or it's too southern. Let's use the capital name. Like, this is how he thinks. So I don't think I can envision a scenario where he would actually do something like that. You got to consider also if every other place is off limits, let's say for safety reasons, they're still closed or they won't let them run the event. And he's so desperate, and let's say Tennessee is the only place with a big building or whatever, a big stadium, he could do it. You know, are you going to have talents that say, listen, hey, take a hint. You know, it's not safe. I'm backing out. I'm off the car. Like, are you going to have that issue too? And you've had talents, right? Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens sometimes has said, listen, I'm staying home. So I look, if it's still so bad at that point that you have to just scramble to find a place outside of Florida that will let you do something like that, take the fucking hint. Don't do it. Like, I don't want WrestleMania at the Performance Center either, but you know what? That may be the only realistic safe option that you have. So I hope that's not the case, not because I have anything against Tennessee, but just because I think that if that's what it came down to, then they shouldn't be doing it there. At all.
Right. I guess I'll have one more follow-up question, then I'll call it a night. As far as wrestling events in general, could you see AEW doing it? Say it's safe enough for something and this miraculous vaccine comes in, which I'm still totally not buying, but if it does, let's hope best case scenario for a change. Would you see AEW doing it? Maybe at Bristol, maybe in Nashville, somewhere in Tennessee?
Again, I think it just goes back to the same thing I just talked about. I mean, AEW loves to talk about how we test everybody and, you know, we play things very safe. I don't see it. I just don't see it. And if they have access to Daly's Place or if they have access to the Jaguar Stadium and they want to cordon off a section of the stadium, like where they had the Stadium Stampede match and do like an event in the stadium, I see them doing that before they go to Tennessee or some place in the Midwest or some place like that.
Yeah, that seems to be their home base really right now.
Yeah. So, and look, and there's wrestling promotions have done that where they can be in a big dome or a big stadium of 80,000 and they just section it off for a few thousand. Impact did that at the Alamo Dome for one of their events one year. WWE used to run the Pontiac Silverdome. I don't know how many people know that, but years ago in the 80s, after WrestleMania 3, they ran the Pontiac Silverdome. Now, do you think they put 90,000 people in there every single time? Of course not. They took a section of the building and they had a crowd. So they could do that in the Jaguar Stadium if it were available. I guess that depends on whether or not there's an NFL season. That would be kind of a problem, I guess. I don't see them doing it either. I just don't.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, that's pretty much all my questions. So, Monster, I'll let you go. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, it's tough. I hate this idea of WrestleMania back at the PC. It makes me want to vomit, but this is not WrestleMania, you know? But what are you going to do? This is life. This is life for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. It sucks, but it's out of our hands. Let's do one more. How about that? There's so many, I can't get to everybody. But again, I'll be live again tomorrow, and I'll be live again Sunday night. So at the end of all of these reviews, we'll be taking plenty of calls, I'm sure. Let me go to, is this Fayetteville?
No, this is Clinton. How you doing, Solomon? My name is Eric Burrington. How you doing?
I'm good, Eric. Man, boy, my locations are all messed up.
yeah.
Some guy called it earlier from Georgia.
Fayetteville, North Carolina is part of 910 and everything, but I live in Clinton, North Carolina, which is about 30, 35 minutes away from Fayetteville. And I am a first-time caller, but I have been following you on YouTube and, you know, on the internet, I guess through my Blu-ray DVD player and then now my Roku Stick streaming device and, you know, also on my Amazon tablet. And I loved your shows and everything else, along with a few other people, you know, such as Pro Wrestling Unlimited and Wrestling With Regret. And I've been a big wrestling fan since I was 5 years old. NWA first. WWE last and least on the list because of the stupid stuff they do. And one of the things I wanted to ask you or, you know, comment on, if, you know, whichever one you want to call it. I think, to me, they need to go ahead and move on with the Sasha Banks and Bayley situation because that's been done so to death, man. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing it. Make Sasha the WWE Women's SmackDown champion because that lady, for her age to be 27 years old now, her last title runs are just not too good to me.
Tomorrow I'm going to do my predictions and I'm going to have some interesting predictions as far as the Sasha and Bayley stuff and where I think it's going. I think you're going to get what you're looking for probably at SummerSlam, but I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. I agree. I like their act. I know some people are tired of it. I think they're one of the few highlights on these shows. And part of me wishes maybe they could keep it going a little bit longer, but it's been going on long enough. You got to pay the story off at some point. I think it's coming. I think it's coming next month. So I don't think you're going to have to wait too much longer.
Yeah, because I think, I agree because to me, at Extreme Rules, which I don't know if it was already taped at the WWE Performance Center, and I know they're going to show it live on WWE Network Sunday, and I'm going to watch it on my Roku Stick again. Sasha should not win the title. And let her just go ahead and do the babyface turn against Bayley and just, you know, let it go from there, you know, until SummerSlam, like you were saying and everything. And then also, too, the stupidest BS I saw was that whole Becky Lynch pregnancy angle. I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, I'm like, no. I did not like that at all. But Asuka's been doing great as the Raw Women's Champion, you know, so far. I love her act. You know, I think she's great.
She can have a fake baby?
She does really good at spitting. Say what now?
Well, I mean, you said the Becky Lynch pregnancy angle. It's not an angle. I mean, she's having a baby.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. It's not a fake baby. It's going to be a real baby. I think.
Okay.
I mean, it's Seth Rollins, so who knows? Maybe it's a little lizard or something that comes out of her womb. Who knows? But, no, I mean, she's having a kid. That's true. That part is real. So, it's not an angle, so just so you know.
Oh, okay. You know how WWE is, so I just I didn't know. But I'm going to tell you one match that I wish they would have done when crowds were, you know, when everything was purely normal a few years ago. That's Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Oh my God, I've been wanting to see that so bad, man. But WWE just keep screwing that guy over and not giving him what he wants when he came back. Because I think Bobby Lashley's a good man. You know, he does what he does in the ring, you know, and everything like that. And he has a great MMA background. But they should have made that match between him and Brock Lesnar, because I wanted him to kick the hell out of Brock Lesnar's ass.
Yeah, I mean, look, it could happen one day. I mean, I think every month that goes by, it becomes less and less likely. But doesn't mean they still can't do it. You know, I still think that if they build it up right, there could be interest in that match. I don't know why they haven't done it yet, but
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing also, too, I want to say is that this is regarding the whole coronavirus COVID-19 issue. Everybody needs to be safe. Mm-hmm. If AEW has access to the Daily Place plus the Jacksonville Jaguars football stadium, which they hold other events besides football there as well, use that. Don't try to go outside the limits where it wouldn't be safe for the talent and the wrestlers. Like, you know, Vince wants to do with WWE.
That'll be
really crazy because
yeah, and I think they will.
I know, I mean, when I go to the store, I wear my mask all the time.
That's which is good. You should, because I don't want anything to happen to you, because I want you to be able to call into these streams, and I want you to be able to tell me what you think. Which you know, I'm glad you're able to make it through. But listen, I just told the last caller, and I'll say it again. I mean, if they have access to a giant football stadium, if they want to get out of Daly's Place and go next door, it really just depends on whether or not there's an NFL season, right? So if there is
if
there's an NFL season, it becomes a lot harder to do that. Not impossible on an off day, maybe, but then you got to consider the weather if you get into the winter. So there is, you know, there is that aspect to it,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
but
there's all that too. Yeah. Because I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey, so I was born on March 3rd, 1975. I'm a Pisces for life, so I know what that winter weather is like.
You give me your social security number, too? No, I'm kidding.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
Do that.
Good.
But, I want to say also, I do, you know, vote on all your Insta polls on Twitter as much as I can, and I comment on them as well. And you are doing a great job, and, you know, I love your shows, and to the ones you lost in your family or your friends, you know, I give my condolences. I've lost relatives too recently, and I lost a good friend of mine back in March, who was 44 years old.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So I know what that's like, and everything. And thank you for your condolences. But you know, you are doing a great, great job. You really are, Solomon Austin. You know, sometimes I call you by your first name in the comment when I make a tweet on a Insta poll or something else.
Yeah.
You know, and everything, because
okay.
I like being for real, you know, and everything like that. You know, I really do. And stuff, you know, and I can tell you this right now, if I was a pro wrestler, I would not sign with the WWE at all, because the way they did HCH, AKA Jordan Miles, over the t-shirt situation, which was stupid. You know, they just, I don't know. It's just something, the way they treat, you know, black pro wrestlers. And I couldn't blame him for leaving.
Well, go to New Japan.
You know, that's the
go to New Japan. They'll train you in the dojo. They'll break you in the right way.
Yeah, and also they have great shows too and everything. I'm just, you know, I'm just a pure fan at heart, but I have my opinions on everything. And also, if you notice, the TBT basketball tournament, they started playing basketball down there. No, it was, this is up in Columbus, Ohio, on the ESPN network. So they started playing basketball, but everybody is quarantined. And as you know, the NBA is doing the same thing down there between Orlando and Kissimmee, Florida.
The bubble. I've heard about the bubble. You know, I picture that movie, I hear the bubble, and I keep picturing that movie Biodome with Pauly Shore that came out all those years ago. They have to build something like that and just contain everybody inside this giant, like, biodome just to protect them. I don't know what Pauly Shore is.
Yeah,
up to.
Or something like you see in the DC cartoon with DC superhero universe with Aquaman, his little Atlantis got a bubble around it.
Yeah. Listen, Eric, this has been awesome. I'm glad you made it through. Your first call, right? First time calling in.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Like I said, I love your shows. Keep on doing the good work, Solomon. So
I appreciate it,
and I would try to keep calling in as much as I can.
Yeah.
I see the number here on my screen, and You're not the first one I called. You're the first one I called in, but I also sent in a live message to I forgot his good mic work. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course, Greg.
Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, and I said something about AEW, and he was like, Eric Brewington, I agree with you, but bro.
There you go.
I forgot what it was. I think it was about the first event
great
that I commented on.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, listen, you'll have to call in again in the future because I'm going to be doing live streams every week, as you know. And then we'll talk more. All right?
I sure will, man. And awesome. Thanks again, Jason Solomonster. Keep up the great work, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I always laugh when people merge the first name with the Solomonster name because a lot of people actually call me that, and it's just weird because I had a friend who didn't really know about like the podcast stuff and everything, and then he heard somebody refer to me as that, and he's like, "What did they call you?" And I'm like, "It's a long story," and I had to fill him in on the whole thing, and now he tunes into all the live streams and everything because you know. Otherwise, he's got to listen to his wife. He doesn't want to do that. I won't give out any names, though. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Let me go to one more here, one of our good buddies. I know he's been waiting a while, so I want to make sure I get him on. Jared, what's going on?
Virgil beat DiBiase at SummerSlam 91 for the belt.
Right, that's what I said.
$1 million belt.
No, that's what I said. Oh, I said Virgil
stole it.
No, he stole it.
You said he stole it.
He stole the championship from Ted DiBiase.
Well, Piper was coaching him next to Biff.
No. He stole the title, just like you know, Bobby Heenan said at the Royal Rumble in 92 when he was talking about all the guys who hadn't come out yet in the Rumble match. Boy, you know, Hogan got lucky, and he said, you know, Virgil just comes out, and he goes, you know, Virgil has been in the back the entire time. He's probably been going through everyone's bags.
Because he stole the belt.
It's crazy.
Best 60 minutes of those two on commentary ever.
Absolutely. I long for those days.
Yeah. I know, Jason, this is a AEW show, but got all the WWE fanboys calling you. But I really hope it is not Zack Ryder next week. I really hope.
It won't be Zack Ryder. It's going to be Matt Cardona.
Okay, whoever he is,
the internet champion, Matt Cardona.
Yes, and you know, I lost. You know, I had some respect for him, but when I read that article on one of the news sites, I think Chris Van Fleet interviewed him and said, you know, when they took away his YouTube channel and he didn't fight back, he goes, I was scared to fight back, and I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know how to stand up for myself. When CM Punk was telling him to stand up for himself, he gets back down like a coward. It's just, you know, he could have been something, and he gets sat in the back for, you know, 10 years.
Let's not get carried away. What could he have been? I'll tell you what he could have been. He could have been a solid member of the mid-card in that company, like intercontinental level, U.S. level, which he was the U.S. champion, but he could have stayed maybe at that level for a while. Not everybody is wired to be the world heavyweight champion. And I'm not saying that you're saying that, but I want to make this like a general message because I hear this a lot from people. This guy's being buried. Yeah. This guy's not getting a chance. He could have been a champion. He could have been this. He could have been that. And yes, in some cases, that is true. But then people go too far with it. And I'll use Zack Ryder just as an example because I've heard people make that argument. Zack Ryder would not have been the world champion. Zack Ryder was not even in the top 10. I mean, my God, at one point they had all this talent on the show, like in the upper card. Some guys can have a very comfortable position right in the middle. And you're right. Ryder, though, could have been bigger than he was. And his problem was he got over on his own. That was his great sin. He got over on his own, and you can't do that in WWE, right? Unless you're like a big, big name, and then they think, oh, well, we can make a lot of money off this guy, then we'll just go with it. That was his cardinal sin. He decided, you know what? I'm going to start my own YouTube show. He had this big following. I think the nail in his coffin, or one of the nails in his coffin, was, what's and that? You may have been at the show. I was at the show. Survivor Series 2011, Madison Square Garden.
Yes, I was there. Okay. We beat Ziggler, yeah.
So then you know, at the end of that show, you know, hold on, you know at the end of the show that when The Rock was in the ring trying to cut a promo, he was interrupted. He was run over by these chants of "We want Ryder" to the point that The Rock had to acknowledge it and said, "Hey, he's a pretty good kid." All right, even though he didn't come out, I don't know why Ryder didn't come out, but stuff like that, I think we look back on as, "Oh, what a cool moment." Little things like that, I think, is what did him in, because he wasn't in their plans. It almost like it was like an offense to them, right? That's how sick in the head some of these people are. That's how petty these people can be. So after that, he didn't really stand a chance. But good for him. He was employed for how many years did he work in that company for? Probably 13 years, 12 years?
2006.
A long time. He survived a lot of cuts over the years. He got paid well, I'm sure. He met the woman of his dreams working in WWE. So you know what? When he looks back on that run for how it affected his life and everything, maybe he could have done better, but he ended up in a pretty good spot, and now he's going to have the freedom to go spread his wings and do whatever he wants to do, and he's free and clear to do it. I don't begrudge the guy for it. You know, he wanted to keep his job, so he wasn't going to rock the boat. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in that company who fall into that category. They don't want to rock the boat.
Eggshell. That's just it. Just like that McMahon interview with Stone Cold on the network. You know, millennials, that's what he said. I thought he was referring to Zack Ryder and to, The Miz, but Miz has actually become...
That gif right there, that disappointed Solid Monster gif on the screen, there it is. That's like the perfect encapsulation of Zack Ryder's career. It's just like, man, you know, it's just this guy caught a tough break, but he still ended up having a pretty good run, so I don't go to bed at night crying for Zack Ryder.
Okay, on to AEW. Kenny's turning heel, or he's splitting away. We spoke about this last week. You asked me how they're going to get there. I didn't know how to do it A to B, but I think it kind of started tonight. And I'm not. Maybe he won't go heel. Maybe he'll just be in the middle, just like Paige is right now. But I do see a match down the line between those two.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. I think it's just a matter of time. It's coming. So do they do the long kind of drawn out burn for it, or
burn.
Who goes heel, who doesn't? I'm more intrigued by that. Is it Hangman? Is it Kenny? Is it both? I think it can't be both. I'm just glad they're kind of moving things along a little bit, you know?
Jason, what are you more intrigued by, FTR and the Bucks or Paige and Omega? The burn.
Oh, Paige and Omega.
Paige and Omega.
It's been going on for longer. I mean, they kind of put a pause on it for a while, but I want to see what the payoff is. I want to see who turns and who doesn't.
And you really think that Moxley's next opponent is MJF?
I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think he's ready for it yet. 23 years old, but maybe they do a Diesel Shawn Michaels thing where Wardlow actually comes out of this looking good. I don't know. But
we'll see.
I'm just thinking, like, they really don't have a big heel factory there. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't think Cage was going to lose tonight. They threw in the towel. They protected him. But I don't look at Brian Cage as, the AEW champion. And I don't really blame Moxley for these, I think it's the crowd. I think everything's going on. I think he just got it at a shit time. That's all.
Anything else? I'm going to wrap up. You're going to be my last caller tonight.
Jason, I don't know why you have a bottle of Jack Daniels downstairs for 4 weeks and you haven't touched it, but whatever.
Well, you see, I've been doing. Well, hold on. I've been doing. Okay. I've been doing DDP yoga, right? Because I fell off years ago. I'm like, I got to get back to it. I have no excuse now. I can wake up in the morning. I'm not working out of the office right now, and so I've been doing that for 6 weeks. And I said, this would be a good time to just lay off that for a little bit. And it is amazing what difference it makes when you don't drink alcohol and you don't have soda with the alcohol, because I don't drink soda anymore just by itself. But yeah, I mix it together. And until you stop, you don't realize, like, wow, yeah, it does make a difference when you do that. So I'm playing a little game with myself now where I'm just waiting to see, like, how much longer can I go? These WWE shows, yeah. I don't think I'm going to last much longer. I mean, this horror show coming up on Sunday, it's probably going to be game over at that point. I'm going to be three sheets to the wind when I go live on Sunday night. So that's a stream you're going to want to tune into. Believe me, that's going to be a very interesting stream on Sunday.
Well, you know what, Jason, I'll make you happy. I put a little yellow sticky on my computer to remind me at 1 o'clock you're on tomorrow. So
good. I want everybody to join me at 1 o'clock. I want Jared to join me. I want Smith's Grove in the chat, Turtlehead. I am Doom Crow. Who else is in there? Luis. I want Luis. Although, I guess West Coast, it'll be, what time is that? 10 a.m.? It'll be 10 a.m. his time. I want everybody to join me tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on YouTube.com. I'm going to be going live.
Are you taking calls?
Probably at the end, most likely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to hear from the fanboys. Love them. All right, Jason. Have a good night, man.
All right, you too, man. All right, so let us wrap things up here. We have some more super chats that came in. Maybe some more questions. I'll take some questions. Yukio Rules with a $25 drop. I thank you. Fire Ant, your secret identity is safe with me. Well, now you've outed me, so. Cuba the Goat, what's up, man? What's going on? You waited until the very end of the stream to send in your super chat. I almost missed it. Reek and Son, excited for baseball next week? Yeah, I am. I'm not so excited about all these rumors about the Mets ownership situation. I was not at all a fan of what I heard today. And I hope it's not true. That's all I'm going to say about that. And the True Heel Master, should AEW and ROH do a joint pay-per-view for All Out since Ring of Honor has been on ice? Like, no, why would they do that? Of what benefit is that to AEW? I know why Ring of Honor would want to do it. No. There is no active working relationship anyway between the two companies that I'm aware of. I know there was the thought that there might be with Marty. Party Marty, unfortunately, is in a bit of a quandary right now. There's an ongoing investigation in Ring of Honor into the whole speaking out stuff on Marty and some other talents. Believe me, I don't think AEW wants to have anything to do with Ring of Honor at the moment. Nor do I see how it benefits them. So, I want to mention this. I'm going to mention it again tomorrow. There is something very cool going on Sunday. When I go live for my stream, I'm going to be the master of ceremonies. Because one of the things I'll be doing is hosting this 6 Marks the Spot giveaway for WrestleRumble.com. I'm giving away 6 championship belts. 6. And I'm going to have more details about this on tomorrow's stream. There's going to be a first, second, and third place winner, and all it costs you to enter is $1. So go to WrestleRumble.com, put your entry in right now. I will have more information on this tomorrow. On the stream tomorrow. Tomorrow. I love you. Tomorrow. You're only a day away. Right? We're only a day away from tomorrow's live stream. All right. When I start singing, that means I'm at the end of my rope. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining me and the child here for tonight's stream. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope I took your mind off all the ills and woes of the world to talk AEW. And unfortunately, we ended up talking WWE, which is never my intention, but it always winds up that way because for better or worse, as WWE goes, so goes wrestling. Right? So I'm going to be back 1 o'clock tomorrow. Predictions for Extreme Rules back on Sunday, episode 661 on all the usual platforms. And Sunday night, live right back here on YouTube. I don't know if he's going to be here. Are you going to be? He's not going to be here, but I'll be here. And I hope you join me on Sunday night. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic week. And I will see you right back here in just a few hours tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Happy, right? Happy. Yay!